College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a reason they call me Minnesota's Autism Mom. It's because I make it my business and go out of my way to provide free workshops and trainings for parents who have kids with special needs. And part of the educational workshops and seminars and programming that I do is also for companies and businesses. I was just at Krauss Anderson on Thursday talking to their marketing and human resources departments about the importance of hiring more neurodiverse adults, because they say 1 in 36 children has autism now. And at some point, they're going to be 1 in 36 grown-ups. And so me and my friend Charlotte and my friend Jocelyn and all of us who have children who are on the spectrum or neurodiverse in some way, we want them to have jobs when they get older. We want them to have a better quality of life, right? And so I'm going directly to those HR professionals and talking to them about how dedicated and smart and informed people with autism are, and how just a soft handshake or no eye contact would traditionally rule out those candidates, and how they need to give grace to people like our children when they grow up. And I also do educational workshops for teachers and early educators. And I grow across the state of Minnesota whenever I'm called, however I'm needed. And I was in Marshall, Minnesota last month talking to Head Start teachers. And it was a room full of Head Start educators, probably about 200 women and men. And I was talking to them about how to engage parents, because they're the first line of defense in Head Start. And they're going to be the ones to have to tell the parents who may not have seen it that there's something that's not quite right, and then give them the tools they need to help their child get diagnosed, get services, get the resources that they need so they can have a better quality of life. Because that early intervention, that's the key right there. And how can you engage those parents without making them feel overwhelmed? How can you talk to those parents without putting them on the defensive? How can you all work together to be on the same team to get this child the help they need, right? And so just equipping them and talking to them, and you know, something in my spirit told me to start talking about the locks that I give away. The Spread Love with Locks campaign that I do, where I go across the country passing out these interior Amazon combination door locks that I buy a lot of times with my own money. And I fly on my own dime to Houston and Boston and all parts in between when a child with autism wanders away and drowns. I go right to that community where that tragedy happened. I hire an ice cream truck. I hire a balloon animal. I hire a clown. I hire a face painter. And I partner with the police departments. And I try to give away at least 100 locks. Sometimes Amazon partners with me. Sometimes they don't return my call. It does not matter. Because one of my favorite scriptures says a generous person will prosper. So if I got to use my own money to do it, that's fine. But every lock saves a life. And so I was at this event in Marshall, and I was talking about the door locks and how it's kept my children safe from wandering outside the home, and half the room started crying. And I knew something was going on. And then they told me that one of their students, one of their Head Start kids, was a 4-year-old boy who wandered away, and he was found in a river and later died at a hospital. And I said, well, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to Marshall. I'm going to do a lock giveaway. I'm going to hire me an ice cream truck. I'm going to get a face painter. I'm going to buy 100 locks. I'm going to call Amazon and see if they want to partner with me. If they don't, that is just fine. But we're going to do this lock giveaway. And I said, who was the agency? Who do I need to talk to? And they said, well, call Sheriff Eric Wallen. Call Sheriff Wallen. Talk to him and see if he'll let you do it. I don't think Sheriff Wallen made me wait 60 seconds. before he said, we're in, what can we do? How can we help? Let's get it done. And Sheriff Wallen, I just thank you so much for your partnership and putting this event on October the 5th, right there at the Sheriff's Department in Lyon County. God bless you for trusting me with your residents and the people in your community, because you don't know me from Adam.
No, good afternoon. No, we have not had the pleasure to meet, but I'm looking forward to it on October 5 for sure.
Now, talk to me about how your first responders are doing, because you all were a part of the search. You all worked so hard. You were in close contact and connection with this family in this grieving community. And I know this was personal for your men and women, right?
Oh, very much so. It's always difficult when a tragedy happens, and more so involving a small child. And all the officers between my office, the sheriff's office, and then the local police department, the Marshall Police Department, that were on scene, and Marshall Fire Department, all of those men and women that helped as well, carried this away with them, and it was a traumatic event for all of those responders.
And I'm just so glad that the ladies at the Head Start event spoke up, told me about what happened, gave me your contact information, and you are allowing me to come there and give away these locks. And, you know, Sheriff Wallen, my goal is not only to bring these locks and this information, but to spread love. That's why we do the ice cream truck and the face painter and the balloon animal. So it's not just an event where you get the lock and you go home, but you can stay and you can connect to the community and bring, you know, a spirit of healing after such a devastating event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's the exact idea of, I think, of an event like this. It gives those officers that are able to make it on the 5th an opportunity to maybe bring some closure to the incident itself. And for those coming to take advantage of this opportunity, those families that maybe have that child with autism and could benefit from this, they might find some community and be able to share stories and gain support from other families that are in the same situations as they are. They just might not know it. They might not know their neighbor two doors down has the same struggles.
And, you know, one of the things that I try to do is leave at least 10 or 15 locks with you, so that if somebody's not able to come, if they're working, if they find out about it at the last minute, you'll have some locks there available to give away later after the event is over. But I want you to talk to me about what parents can do if they have children with autism. You know, I know for me, I go to my local police department. I introduce my children to them. I make sure that they know this is Daniel. He wanders, you know, but, you know, you're the law enforcement expert. You know, give us some tips about what we can do to try to make sure that you all are informed about our kids and we keep them safe.
Certainly. You have a very good point. It is to bridge that gap between the child and law enforcement. For any child who's younger, police officers can appear to be intimidating or scary. So it's always good to introduce them in any situation. These people are the helpers. They're the ones that if you need help, look for them. And if they come to you, to not be afraid. And they're there to help you. So to make that connection before you need to make it is an excellent thing. One thing that we have done here in our area that it hasn't been too publicized, if you will, but if a family that has a child with special needs, whether it's autism or something else, they could call us and give us the information, and we can put a note in our database or our record system. So if we get a 911 call or another type of call for service at that address, we'll get a flag and say, there's a person living here with autism, and this is their unique characteristics, because as we know, everyone with autism is different, hence the puzzle piece as the logo. You know, everyone's challenges are different, so we'd like to put those pieces, you know, put that information in there so the officers have an idea. Okay, this one's nonverbal, this one is one that tends to run from the house, or whatever the cases may be. So it's something that we have going in, gives us a little more information, and we can respond accordingly and more appropriately. We also at the Sheriff's Office have some stickers that we pass out to anyone that wants them that a person could put near their front door or even on their vehicle to give any type of first responder, whether it be police, a fireman, or an ambulance person, an idea of the type of people that live there. So, for example, we have a sticker for autism or special needs. We have a sticker for brain injury or PTSD. We have a diabetic one. We have a dementia or Alzheimer's. And we have a deaf or hard of hearing sticker. So if we see those on their front door, we know we need to take a minute and rethink how we're responding to this situation, because it's going to take some special care based on who's living here. So those are a few things that families could do.
Well, I just cannot thank you enough for being on the show, for giving us those tips. You know, you've given me some, I'm over here taking notes, some things that I hadn't even thought about doing. But I just appreciate the proactive work that you and your department in Lyon County do to keep our kids safe, and for the way that you put your heart and soul and effort into trying to find this child. And wrapping your arms around that family means so much to those of us in the autism community. Your compassion was on full display when this child was found, and I'm so grateful for the work that you did, you know, in that instance. So thank you so much, and I look forward to finally meeting you in person on October the 5th from 10 to noon at our lot giveaway. Yes, ma'am. So spread the word. You do it. You spread the word over there. I'm going to spread the word over here, and we're going to make sure that we get at least 100 families to come by and pick up those free locks so that we can save as many children with autism who wander as we possibly can. God bless you. Thank you so much for being on the show, Sharon.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day.
All right, we'll see you soon, and you all stick around. There's more to come. Okay, if you have not gone on my social media page today, I don't care if you are on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook, wherever you are, you have got to see the video of Eric Escala coming down the Soul Train line for the first time in his life. So I was on Almanac last night. It was my turn to do a monologue. Tane Danger was last week. This was my week. And I was going to do something all about how I went to U.S. Bank Stadium recently for a Gopher game. I'm sorry. I went to Huntington Bank Stadium recently for a Gopher game. And I was hanging out with the cheerleaders, and they challenged me to do a split. Well, okay, so let me back up. They didn't challenge me. They were doing a split. I told them I could also do the split, except I hadn't done a split since 1990. But I figured, you know, just being around young people, some of that young energy would rub up on me and my legs, and I'd be able to get down to the ground. It didn't work out for me. But I figured I could salvage the video and my pride by doing a monologue on it. And so I did that last night. And so when my monologue, I was rehearsing, and I had the pom-poms, and somehow we got on the subject of the Soul Train line. And Eric Escala said, "What is a Soul Train line?" And I said, "Eric, you've never been in a Soul Train line before?" And he said, "No, I haven't." I said, "Don Cornelius Soul Train, that doesn't ring a bell?" And he just looked at me. Now, he knew Casey Kasem. He knew American Bandstand. He knew Dick Clark. But Soul Train escaped him somehow. So I shut the whole rehearsal down. I said, "We're not going to rehearse any more segments for Almanac tonight until Eric Escala comes down a Soul Train line. It's not going to happen." And so I had the audio guys put it on Brick House. I said, you find the Brick House by the Commodores, and we're going to put it on Brick House. And we are going to show Eric Escala how to do a Soul Train line. And so first we had to explain it to him, because, you know, it's Eric. You got to explain everything to him. And show them what it's all about and how to get it done. So we did that part, right? And so then after we gave him all the information he needed, then we piped the music in. And He came down the Soul Train line for the first time. It is hilarious. It is so funny. You have got to see it. He is just doing his thing. I tell you, you got to check it out. You have absolutely got to check it out. And so, it almost didn't surprise me that Eric did not know what a Soul Train line was. But what did surprise me was how good a dancer Kathy Worsford is. Honey, we put Brick House by the Commodores on. And after we finished teaching Eric how to come down the line, it was her turn. And she looked like one of the original Soul Train dancers. I mean, she ate and left no crumbs. She represented the South Side of Minneapolis to the fullest, honey. I'm here to tell you, Kathy Worsford tore that Soul Train line dance up. You ought to see her. I got it on my social media site right now. Josh, see if I sent Josh the link. It's so funny to hear Eric ask about the Soul Train line. I sent it to him. I don't know if he can play it. And let me know if you can play it, Josh. I just emailed it to you. But Kathy was moving and grooving and dancing. And then Ben Meachie. Mr. Ben came down the Soul Train line after Kathy. And when I tell you he had some moves, they put me to shame. I almost didn't want to come down. We had the best time. So if you saw any flubs or any uh-ohs or hiccups or coughs or burps in the live taping of Almanac last night, it was because we did not spend our time rehearsing last night. We spent our time dancing to Brick House and doing the Soul Train line. Josh, do you have that audio on my Facebook site where Eric was coming down the line trying to figure out how to do it?
I am trying to pull it up right now. It's I have to try and log into Facebook at some point. We'll get it up here.
Okay. When you get a chance to get it up, it is absolutely hilarious. I'm telling you, it is worth the price of admission. And you know, I told somebody the other day, if I can't have fun at work, I don't want to go. If we can't just break out in a Soul Train dance line, I don't want to be there. We danced, we did the bump, we had a good time, we laughed, and then our age caught up to us. Because after all that dancing and fun and stuff, when it was actually time to do the show, everybody was out of breath. So if you wonder if we had asthma last night on Almanac, or if it seemed like we were panting a little bit, we probably were, because all of us are 50 plus, and you can't just, when you're over 50, you can't just dance before work. Like, that's something you have to prep for. And then you also need some time after that to relax and unwind and get your breath back. And we didn't have any of that because it was impromptu. And you really, I learned last night, after 50, you can't have an impromptu dance party and then go to work. Josh, let everybody hear what Eric was sounding like last night when he went down his first Soul Train line.
This is the Soul Train line.
This is Soul Train line.
There's no line.
There. Woo! There.
Yeah.
Go, Candy. Go, Candy. Go, Candy. Go, Candy.
Hey.
Oh, my God. We had such a good time last night. Y'all got to see Eric. I mean, he did his best, and he did such a good job. I'm so proud of him for going down the Soul Train line. He was a Soul Train virgin, but he is no longer there. I'm telling you, if Soul Train was still on, Kathy Worsford danced so good that I would fly her down to L.A. and ask Don Cornelius to let her on the show. And she would be on the line, on the stage, and even put her on the scramble board, because girlfriend can dance. Now, y'all don't go anywhere. Stick around. Another one of my girlfriends, Dr. Artika Tyner, is joining the show. And if you've got a young writer in your life, she's got a contest where they may be able to publish their first book. Stick around. I'll tell you all about it next. I'm telling you, if you want to put a smile on your face and you want a good laugh, get over to my social media pages. Shaletta Brundage on Facebook and Instagram and Threads and TikTok. Shaletta Is Funny on Twitter. You can even see it on LinkedIn. Eric Escala. last night during the rehearsal for Almanac in the Twin Cities Public Television Studio. Went down the Soul Train line for the first time, dancing to Brick House. I'm telling you, it will make your weekend. You will not be able to stop giggling. It is the cutest thing you are going to see on social media this weekend. It was so much fun. And the spoiler alert, Kathy Werza may be the next candidate for Dancing with the Stars, because Girlfriend came down that Soul Train line, ate and left no crumbs. So you got to go to my social media pages and check it out. It was so much fun, and it's even more fun to watch again over and over. I'm telling you, every commercial break that we've had this morning, I have been looking at that video of Eric Escala coming down the Soul Train line for the first time in his entire life. It is worth the price of admission. Now, listen, one thing y'all know about me is that I move fast. If God gives me an idea, whether it is something I need to do for the community or a book I need to write, I go quickly, because one of my goals is to not take anything to the grave. I don't want anybody releasing a book or album or a shirt or a design or a podcast posthumously. When I leave this earth and God calls me home, I want every assignment that he has given me to be done. And I got a girlfriend, Chevelle Johnson, broadcast editor and writer for the Associated Press in New Orleans, a supervisor. She has been at the Associated Press for 30 plus years, the only job she has ever had. Her byline has been on everything from entertainment stories to presidential politics. And she's been working on the damn book that she has given me an idea that she, you know, she's like, I got this idea for a book. We were like in our 20s. I was like, that's great. Write the book. It's still just an idea. How many of our books and dreams die on the kitchen table, die on the phone with a girlfriend, die on a to-do list that we never finish? How many books do we take to the grave? And I'm excited to tell y'all that I got something that's going to spark some interest. Something that's going to make you get up and take that book that you had the idea for, that manuscript that you have that's on your dresser or in a drawer somewhere, and pull it out. Because there's a writing competition. Yes, there is a writing competition. Planning People Growing Justice. It's part of their mission. And they have a writing contest. Winners, manuscripts, winners receive $3,000 and a copy of the published children's books. There are only a few weeks left. You have to be a Minnesota resident, 18 years or older. The topic has to be a fiction picture book on Juneteenth, Rondo, or Black Joy. And nonfiction short biography highlighting a Minnesota hero or shero. And I am so excited. These submissions will be accepted through October the 1st. Dr. Artika Tyner is here, and she is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Tyner, I love that you are doing this contest, because so many people who have books somewhere in their mind, in their heart, and in their house that they've written a manuscript for have a chance to submit it and actually win a contest.
It is vitally important. We want those dreams to come alive on paper and impact and inspire others.
Now, Dr. Tyner, tell me about this writing competition, because you've been doing this for a couple years now.
We have. We host writing competitions throughout the year. Our mantra is based upon the words of the community organizers, got voice, got power. So we want people to use their voice. And this particular competition is near and dear to my heart. Let's showcase the best of Minnesota. Let's tell our stories. Let's build community, and let's make an impact.
Okay, so tell me about the process. Somebody has a manuscript. Somebody has a story. How can they get started in making sure that they submit it for this contest? Because they get $3,000 and a copy of the published book.
Now is the time. We're accepting the manuscripts until October 1st. But here it is. This is how you prepare. First of all, go to our website at Planting People Growing Justice Leadership Institute, which is ppgjli.org, ppgjli.org. Under our tab of what we do, you can find all of our open writing competitions. There's just not one. There are many available. And our goal with this particular competition is to create an entry point. That way we can help not only promote diversity in books, but help to support diverse authors and illustrators to say, let's share your story. Let's make an impact. So go to our website. Everything you need is there. First of all, if this is your first book, all the resources and free writing workshops, you have access to that content. I'm going to say it again. Free of charge. These are the things I spend thousands of dollars for to get trained. We made it available for you. Everything from how to write about your characters, how to do your research, nonfiction versus fiction, and then the mechanics of writing as well. How to bring your manuscript together. All of those resources are available in just one click away.
Dr. Tiny, you have to tell me, why don't we tell our stories more often? Why don't we take those manuscripts? Is it, you know, because this is what you do. You have a publishing company and people come to you on a regular routine basis. Is it fear that we'll be rejected? Is it confidence that we think that this, you know, what we've come up with isn't good enough? What is preventing us from telling our stories?
Oh, it's a combination of many things, Ms. Shaletta. For some, yes, it's that fear, because once you click submit, someone else gets to read your story. That was my challenge for many years, and especially now as I'm working on a new poetry collection, and yours truly, I've written nearly 40 books. How could I be scared to publish my poetry? But I was. I thought all of a sudden this private thing that I used to, you know, reflect, to create new ideas, now I have to share it with the world. It was so close to me that I thought I shouldn't share. But at the same time, I won the Sidewalk Poetry Award. Now my poetry about Rondo is going everywhere and inspiring others to write. So yes, there's that fear. Yes, there's also cost, because many people, if they don't have the resources, how can they publish? And most people have to start with self-publishing, and that can be a costly endeavor. But more importantly, let's take out all those hurdles, all those roadblocks, impasses, and let's say, let's work on this together. So Planting People Growing Justice was created to be on this journey with the community. If you're willing and able, you can come to our writing workshops. You can come to our community events to get additional support from writing coaches. But let's make sure that we're sharing our stories, and this is our chance to showcase the best of Minnesota.
Okay, so where can people go to sign up? I've got like 5 text messages and 2 DMs on Twitter. Like, give me a website. Do I need to call somebody? What's going on? So how can folks sign up? Because everybody's got a story to tell, and this is your opportunity to tell yours.
Come to our website. You can submit your manuscript just right there. Once again, that's Planting People Growing Justice Leadership Institute. You can send us a DM on Facebook if that's easier for you to get the link. And in addition to that, come out in person. Every first Saturday, we're at the Rondo Library for our Leaders or Readers program. We have multiple coaches there, like Tuba Nguyen, Nancy Lowen. They're there to help support you on finishing that manuscript, on learning more about the writing journey and the process. So we're here. We're here because we know, yes, everyone has a story, and we're here to help you share it.
Okay, Dr. Tiner, you have been doing this for decades, and you come across a lot of manuscripts. There are some people listening to this show who say, you know what, I've been holding on to that, or I have a story. Can you give them one tip that you think would be helpful as they go to that next step in presenting?
The most important step, and this was even true for me as a writer, is getting a community with other writers. I started my journey as an author in writing circles. Pick a couple of people to help read the manuscript, to help give you ideas. My best friend is an author. I'm always coming up with ideas for her. Last week, I was like, this book, this book, this book. And she's in a different genre. She's in suspense and thriller. So I'm always looking for new tips for her, for her character plot, character development. So I give this as an example. Oftentimes we try to do things alone, but we know that African proverb, if we want to go further, we go together, right? So I want to encourage people, go to the writing circle, connect with other writers. For me, as someone who's written many books, been working in publishing for almost 2 decades now, it's an opportunity even for me to mentor and coach and share tips as well. So I would say the greatest challenge that many of us have, our blessing is only one question away. ask someone for some support. And writing is not something, the last thing I'll say about it, that you do in isolation. We write in community, and we build community through our stories.
Well, Dr. Tyner, I can't thank you enough for the work that you are doing. I know that you cannot do it alone. You need support. You need volunteers. You need donors. This, you know, freedom is not free. So how can people who are listening support you?
The first way that you can support is by joining us on October 25th. It's our annual fundraiser at the Women's Club of Minneapolis. Be there. Learn a little bit more about our story. Come out and support. Host a book drive, whether it's at your place of worship or at your place of employment where you work. Host a book drive. Help us to get more diverse books, to get them in the hands of our community in meaningful ways. And you can always volunteer with us. We're always looking for readers and supporters to help us continue the work for our Saturday program. But more importantly, out of all these things, please, 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 the essence of what we're doing is about ending America's reading crisis. Share information. When we have 1 in 4 American children who cannot read, let's work together to remove the barriers and make sure that all children have the gift of discovering joy in reading.
Well, Dr. Tyner, I can't thank you enough for the work that you are doing. I'll be there for the fundraiser. I'll be making a donation, and I love you.
Oh, I love you, and thank you for being a blessing to our entire community, because every time I see your post, I'm hitting like because I'm getting excited. You bring joy, you bring peace, and you bring unity in our community, and we're blessed to have you.
Oh, you just poured into my spirit, and I thank you. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Let me tell you something, honey. Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport is not a scrub. We are number one. Yes, we won top place for mega-sized airport in the prestigious J.D. Power survey, honey. Oh, my God. Yes, baby. You better believe it. Now, we beat out Detroit Metropolitan Wayne County Airport, which came in second place. And this is according to J.D. Power 2024 North American Satisfaction Survey. 33 million annual passengers. And you know, Detroit won last year, and Minnesota St. Paul International Airport took the title in 2022 for the first time. So this is our second time winning, being number one. And I'm going to tell you, you get spoiled. We get spoiled flying out of Minneapolis St. Paul Airport. If you are a traveler and you are going to any other airport in the country, you are like, what a dump these other places are. They are just disorganized. There's bad customer service. The restaurants aren't open when they're supposed to be open. You know, you don't have the service and the level of care and expertise that these people at our airport bring to us on a regular routine basis every day. You don't have that in other cities. You don't. And so we are definitely spoiled. And the next time you are at MSP, you need to just go up to somebody and say thank you. I have even during the most busy times, I've never been yelled at. My children who have special needs have never been treated kinder. They have made accommodations for us as we travel. And that is not the case at other airports. Which is why our family wind up, you know, looking into getting RVs and one from Marcus Lemonis at Camping World is because we would fly out of MSP with no problem. Flying back home was a whole nother story. So I do not take for granted, that we won this prestigious award, honey. And this is not an award that was given to us by a bunch of, uptight executives. This was a survey from travelers, and not just travelers who live here, but travelers from across the country who come here and they're like, wow, the so clean in here. The people are so nice. Look how they're just driving these carts around and they're not upset and everybody's on time. Look how they're clearing these planes off, even though it snowed. Look how our luggage is getting to its destination. I cannot tell you how many times I've had things stolen out of my luggage outside of Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport, which is why I hardly ever check bags. I mean, it is heads and tails better than any place else I've ever flown in or out of. And that is a testament to the leadership there, the board, the commission, and just the workers who clock in every day. The folks who go there to check our bags, the folks who greet us at the door and take our luggage, the gate agents, the restaurateurs, the folks over there at the Prince store who play concerts. Baby, because I almost missed two or three flights just standing in the Prince store jamming the Purple Rain. Okay? I'm talking about Super Bowl edition Purple Rain. That'll make you stop. You will lose track of time. Okay? Now, don't forget, y'all, the Shaletta Show is only on until 2:30. So we've got about 34 more minutes to hang out together. You don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.